One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Need any dramatic intro.
Yeah.
Like, they said it could never happen. Two podcasts meet in the dead of the night.
On three different coasts and continents apart.
God help us all. Right, so I'll start then, see what your take is on this, if you want. Have you heard of the Van Meter Visitor? I don't know if that's how you say it. Somewhere in Iowa? Van Meter?
I haven't heard of that.
No?
I don't think so.
Well, it's sometimes called the winged creature that terrorized Iowa. Or sometimes it's called the gargoyle. But I guess it depends on what you... what you envision a gargoyle to look like. But I've actually got a picture of it. I'll try and send you it so you can see what that, like an eyewitness picture of it. But have you seen that film, The Dark Crystal?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it looks like one of them, you know, them birds that do all that shit, the altar thing.
The Skeksis.
Yeah, it looks like one of them, essentially. But with bat wings, you know. I think they had wings, didn't they? I'm not sure.
I don't think they did. I think they were like... fuzzy,
some sort of cloak or something. Yeah. Well, this thing had wings, but it started in the autumn of 1903, and again, this is in Van Meter, Iowa, when residents started reporting that they was being terrorized by this winged creature. Now, the way they described it, and this isn't just a few pissheads. This is like well-respected people in the town. So you've got like you've got the doctor, you've got a bank cashier, all these kinds of people. But they said that this thing resembled half animal, half human, with enormous smooth winged, you know, wings of like a bat, enormous smooth wings. So you know, not beard like. So it's not a crane, okay? So.
What about a barn owl? Could it have been a barn owl?
Nope, smooth wings rules out completely.
You don't know about barn owls, though, man. They can have smooth wings.
They can
They're masters of disguise.
Yeah. All right, a barn owl in a swimming costume. Yeah?
There you go.
There you go. Not yet. Now you're thinking.
But, yeah. So, but the best thing about this description and that the people that saw it, they said that it had a terrible stench, you know. So, you know, that's something. I don't know if physical is the right word, but it's something tangible, isn't it? You know, smell.
Were they able to describe the smell?
Just terrible.
Just terrible.
Actually, they described it twice. They say terrible, and then what was the other way they described it? I can't find it right now, but they described it another way as well. But basically, there was no, it didn't, you know, it wasn't like sulfur or, you know, rotten eggs or anything like that. It was just a terrible stench. So yeah,
just bad.
Yeah, but you find that, don't you, in a lot of cryptid cases? You find this smell. You know, Bigfoot's meant to not on occasion smell. You know, people have said that Loch Ness Monster smells, but then, you know, you've got to take into account that they're probably stoned at the time anyway for seeing a Loch Ness Monster, so you just don't know. But But anyway, let's get back to this description. So he's half animal, half human, enormous smooth wings, terrible stench, and it also had a horn.
Yeah.
This is where it, you know, loses a bit of credibility in it, but it had a horn on its head, on its forehead, yeah? And this horn was meant to, some reports, and I haven't found an actual quote from anybody there, but people say that it fired beams of bright light from it.
Whoa, this just took a Spring Hill Jack-like turn, like a Phantom Attacker, yeah. Right, Mike?
I think...
just launches lasers out of his fucking horn.
Well, I think later on they tell you that it flashed light, if you like. So I don't think we're talking about lasers necessarily, but yeah.
You're killing my dreams, man.
I know, yeah, it's kind of spoiled the story that bit, isn't it? But anyway, so this basically took place over, as what I can tell, it took place over like four nights. So you got the first night. The creature was spotted flying over the buildings in the village, like, so that was it, you know. And people obviously spoke about it the next day and said, "Well, did you see that thing flying around the barn?" All and the next day, the local doctor and a bank cashier called Peter Dunn. They actually witnessed it, and Peter Dunn is meant to have done a plaster cast of a three-toed track. So this creature must...
Three-toed?
Yeah, three-toed. That's
one of the weird ones.
Yeah, there's been... just recently, there's been a spate of hoof... you know, like bipedal hoof prints. You know what you'd associate with a devil, if you believe in such things. But there's been a spate of them, people reporting these. There's even one guy who said that he was camping. This is somewhere in the States, and he was camping. It was snowing. When he woke up in the morning, he went outside for fresh air or whatever, and he saw these hoof prints leading from the edge of the woods to a bin, and then they actually carried on past the bin and then went up the side of a tree. You know, you could see them in the snow just going up vertical up the tree.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Sounds like that there's similar reports that have been known as the devil's footprints, and people will find them like outside their windows in the snow, and it just looks like cloven hoof prints.
Yeah,
and they're said to go into extraordinary places like up trees, and in that one case, Mike, there's even a report of it walking up to like a water pipe that was an inch wide, and then did the foot. Prince disappearing and then continuing on the other side of the pipe.
Other side, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's going on? You know? I think there's got to be something to it, hasn't there? You know, they get so many reports saying the same thing. Yet the strange thing about the cloven hoof prints, if you like, is that nobody actually sees the creature in general. It's just the footprints, you know, like at least with Bigfoot or, you know, these other cryptids, at least people every now and again see the creature, don't they?
Yeah.
Same with this one. So to day two, the doctor and the bank cashier see it and a few other people. Night three, it's spotted perched on top of a telephone pole. Now, from what I can tell, in these descriptions, they don't really give a height, a size of this creature. But it's sitting on top of a telephone pole, so I guess that's narrowing it down a little bit. It's not the size of an elephant, but it's obviously bigger than a normal bird, you'd think, because, you know, they're frightened of it, aren't they? So,
yeah, and then you're going to have a hard time spotting a bird on a telephone pole. Yeah,
so I guess that's the only thing that we get a sense of the height of this creature. But it was spotted sitting on this telephone pole by the local high school teacher. And she said it moved like, and I like this quote, she said it moved like a kangaroo. And so she likened it, so she likened it to the devil. I mean.
Kangaroos instantly mean devil, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Every time I see a kangaroo, I fucking, you know, start chucking holy water in that. I mean, the fucking.
Oh, you Satan.
But Fucking yeah. So yeah, it moved like a kangaroo. So yeah, she likened it to the devil. So this is like day four now. Basically, the townsfolk got scared and angered and pissed off, basically, with this creature. It hadn't really attacked anybody at this point or anything like that. That they were fed up with it, nevertheless. So they followed it, and it led them to an abandoned coal mine, which it obviously was living inside. And then the article, I think it was October 3rd, 1903, there was an article in the Des Moines Daily newspaper. And this is the quote from a guy that was there at this coal mine. He said, "Presently the noise opened up again, as though Satan and a regiment of imps were coming forth for battle." So
that's pretty dramatic.
Yeah. So there you go. It was so basically from that, I guess we could say it was making a lot of noise. But
yeah,
that's essentially safe to say.
Yeah. Like I was trying to get a fucking Nobel Prize with this article.
So that's that. Then the creature came out of the coal mine, but it had a smaller one with it. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. Don't hurt us! This is my child!
And then this is where we get the bright light. So it came out the entrance with this little one, and then there was a flash of bright light, and then they flew away. Okay. So that should have been the end of it, yeah? But no. Because it came back.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Came back, but this time with a vengeance and an army of imps. No, it didn't. But it did come back, and the townsfolk again got really upset that it come back, and it was bouncing all over like a kangaroo, and you can't have that. So they formed a posse. They got all the guns and all the rest of it, pitchforks, and they chased this thing back to the coal mine. Essentially, what is said to have happened is this thing just went in the coal mine, deep, 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 and never returned again. So
they actually witnessed it return into the coal mine.
Yeah, they saw it go in there. They said they were shooting at it, and it was, you know, like all these cryptids, it was just impervious to gunfire. It didn't like the gunfire, so it kept going away from them. Eventually back to this hole, into the hole, and then it's never been seen again, so they're presuming that it's either died in there or...
But have they been keeping 24-hour surveillance over this hole?
No, and I couldn't find anything where they said that they'd, you know, blown the entrance, or... Because it was an abandoned one, it wasn't being used, so I imagine that they put something in the way, you know, I imagine that... They didn't just say, that's done then. He's gone back in the hole.
Job well done. All right.
I imagine that they put something in the way, some rubble or something. But yeah, no, it's not been seen again. So, yeah. I've sent you a picture of it on Twitter if you want to have a look, if you can. You'll see what kind of creature it looks like. So, it's got basically, for those at home, it's got basically like a... It's a bald head. It's got like a beak, and it's got maybe like a, almost looks like a, where this horn's meant to be, it's almost like a third eye type knob, I guess, on its head. But it's got some sort of, I don't know if it's wearing clothing, but it's meant to have some sort of emblem on its chest, which is weird. And then, like I say, its wings, it's basically, the wings are the equivalent size of its body, so... Yeah, they are big wings, and that was meant to be an eyewitness that drew that picture.
Wow, an eyewitness drew this. This is one of the most bizarre cryptids I've ever seen. I mean, that symbol on his chest looks like a symmetrical chart of some sort. This is
it's weird, isn't it?
Maybe it's sacred geometry.
That's what it looks like.
It does.
I just sent it to you, Mike. If you got it.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I like it. I like that. I like that. That's what made me interested in this case, is that picture, because that is, I mean, if you're making shit up, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. This looks like a Dungeons and Dragons monster.
Yeah, it totally does.
Ghost and Goblins villain or something.
So the thing is with this, I mean, it's not a tourist attraction, you know, there's no grave marker, there's no mansion that's haunted. You know what I mean? It's just a one-off thing. And could you see why they sometimes call it a gargoyle? You know, because you see these gargoyles.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's got that sort of look to it, hasn't it? So,
right.
Although gargoyles were meant to be good, weren't they?
Yeah.
So, but this never attacked anybody. I mean, it bounced around like a kangaroo. And that, apparently, that in Iowa, that'll get you shot.
or associated with witchcraft Satan, and devil worship.
Well, I mean, kangaroos are some of the most evil creatures on earth.
And kangaroos are
yeah.
Kangaroos are rock hard. I'm telling you. Have you seen them fight people?
Yeah.
Fuck you know. But yeah. So, verdicts. What do you think about that one?
Well, this is my favorite type of cryptid. These weird one-offs. I love these types of cryptids. The first thing that came to my mind is it reminded me of a lot of different cryptids. There's a little bit of Wendigo in there, a little bit of Jersey Devil, Bigfoot, almost a little bit of Mothman to it. But my mind was almost completely changed after seeing that picture. I mean, if it has big wings like that, why wasn't it flying around? Why was it hopping around? That's just
because maybe the wings are for gliding. Maybe they weren't flying wings.
Maybe it was a cloak. I mean, for some
maybe it
reason,
was a cloak. It was just like a crazy Doctor Strange type cloak.
Well, from that picture, I mean, you'd have to say that it was wearing some sort of garment. I mean, that symbol on its chest, not well, you wouldn't think that was a marking, would you? You'd think that was some sort of. But then, you know. Does that look like a creature that can really stitch and sew?
I don't know. You can't see its hands.
Well, true.
Maybe it has really dexterous fingers. But, maybe their race are known for their textile industry.
Well,
you don't know, Lee. You weren't there.
No, God damn it.
It looks like it has a third eye or maybe even a jewel on its forehead.
Yeah,
on that bump thing.
Well, that little bump, because they said it in the description, they say it's a horn, but actually in the picture, it looks more like a bony growth, doesn't it?
Yeah,
what
it sure
if,
does.
What if this entire thing is just a costume, though? Like, that? What if that's like some sort of helmet or mask, and it's got a glowy thing on it? Maybe it's all just a hoax, and it was some asshole running around with a crazy cape and a Halloween mask with a glow stick dangling from it.
All completely plausible. But
absolutely.
If Joe Nicol had said that, I wouldn't agree. But
but because it's me, I get a pass.
Yeah. But this is nice.
No, since it had a three-toed footprint, he would have been an instant barn owl right there. That's your proof.
That's true, yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm kind of like the Joe Nicol of the Whatcast.
Yeah,
so.
I know you are, yeah.
I gotta sub in while he's busy on missions.
Sometimes I listen to a show, and then I want to ring up and just shout at you.
Please do.
I'll ring in next time, all right?
I'll blame it on the barn owls.
You barn owl bastard. But this was 1903, so, you know, I mean, you can't rule out a hoax, and you can't rule out... I mean, if they was using it for celebrity or, you know, monetary gain, and, you know, like, you get these, don't you, where... like Loch Ness, for instance. But this seems to just be a one-off, and like you, Mateo, you know, I like these ones that are just one-offs. You know, some of that you can't really put in a box, it's just... And like I say, the most important bit of evidence in all this for me is, well, not evidence, but obviously the three-toed footprint's good, but it's the stench, you know? People saying that it smelled. I think if you're generally making things up in your head, you don't think about smells because your head don't really conjure up smells, if you know what I mean, if you're picturing a scene. So,
you have to be having a stroke or something like that.
Yeah, but that lends weight to it to me. So, but I'm gonna say this is plausible. I think this could have happened.
Me too, and I think that when it comes to a town reacting in a lynch mob mentality, in a way, it almost eliminates the hoax thing. I mean, this is. What would you say, like 1906 or 3 or something?
1903, yeah. And it basically happened over, what, 4 nights? 5 nights?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as the first time the people of the surrounding town brought out their shotguns and pitchforks, I mean, I think that's when the hoaxer calls it a fucking night. They don't come back and get chased and shot at while they run into a cave. So when it comes to these weird one-off cryptids and when hoaxes brought up, I kind of phase out hoax when people start shooting at it or people start to rally to kill it.
Well, there's been plenty of people shot wearing Bigfoot costumes, haven't there? So,
yeah, we know what happens when people are mistaken for cryptids, purpose or not.
Yeah, it doesn't generally go well.
Yeah, but in the early 1900s, that wouldn't be something that would be a well-known thing, you know, people.
Definitely, and I definitely think it would be harder to make a costume that would frighten people to this degree.
Yeah, that's also, but...
True.
I mean, I think we...
I would say people were more impressionable back then.
Yeah, me too. You know? And when we were... Remember when we were talking about the Enfield Horror on our show?
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm pretty positive that is an actual kangaroo.
Yeah.
And people were saying it was a three-legged monster.
Yeah, well... Kangaroo, two legs and a tail. It rests on its tail. So
yeah, that's exactly why I think they thought that. It's just they saw it in the wrong light, and not. I mean, who's gonna walk outside in the U.S. and expect to see a kangaroo rooting through their garbage? You know, it's gonna alarm you, and you're not instantly going to associate that with the kangaroo. Even though, like, everyone would be able to point to a kangaroo if you said, point the kangaroo out to me. But when you're seeing it in the middle of the night when you're going outside and you're alarmed, it's going to take on a completely different appearance.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anything could do that. I mean, anything can startle you in the night, can't it? I mean, you just go out and, a cat jumps out of a cardboard box or something, and you think you fucking see your life flash before your eyes, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've had a few cats make me say a couple prayers and swore that the end of my life had come.
So yeah, that one. So that's that one. What do you want to do next?
Well, I was just going to say about that one and these weird one-offs like that, I definitely chalk this up to some type of dimensional breach. This is the weird twilight zone to where, I don't know, maybe in its dimension it walks into its closet and appears here. I don't know, but I love these one-offs, and I definitely get super into the rabbit hole when it comes to these flatwood monsters. These definitely some off event for even them.
Yeah, I agree.
They weren't invading. It wasn't like a research team. No. It was just.
It didn't attack anybody.
Fucked.
It was going about its daily business, and yeah, it got mined up. But I think this dimensional bleed, and I've covered time slips in prior shows and stuff like that. And my granddad had one, but this dimensional bleed or whatever you want to call it, it looks like it does happen, you know. And I don't think it'll be too long before we have a scientific explanation for it all. You know, I think it's not far away, I'm sure.
But, it might already be here, it's just being covered up.
Yeah, well, a lot of things are. Definitely. Yeah. So, what do you want to do next? Have you got anything for me, or...?
Have you heard of are you familiar with the Hopkinsville Goblin case?
Yeah, I think we touched on it not too long ago. That's my favourite alien case.
You link that right to aliens, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
Interesting.
You don't? No.
I don't know. Like, I guess you could link it to aliens because a UFO was seen.
Yeah.
But again, I think this has to do more with the dimensional bleed than anything. I think maybe why a lot of these things get seen with lights in the sky is because that's part of that comes along with the crossover.
Yeah.
These lights in the sky, and it's not craft at all. It's just the way that it manifests as they're crossing dimensions or crossing realities, however you want to look at it.
I mean, I'd still say alien, but on how the alien got here.
Well, Yeah, I guess, I mean, alien in terms of it's not from this place, therefore yeah. It's alien, but like space travelers.
Yeah. Do we have a word for these creatures that come through, you know, different dimensions?
I think the ultra-terrestrial.
Yeah, I think that's the official term, yeah.
Yeah, that is possible. But these creatures were shot at, and they didn't seem to have any effect, so that sort of...
Well, no, they did react to getting shot. They said it made like a ping noise, like if you were shooting cans with a .22 in your backyard.
Yeah.
And they said they would tumble, but then they would get right back up and
come back at the house. That for me rules out, because it was put down to being these horned owls, weren't it? But I think that rules out owls for me. I don't know many owls that you shoot with a shotgun and they stay in the same tree or keep coming towards the house.
I'm telling you, man, owls are they're some tricky bastards. You always gotta be wary when owls are involved. Yeah. They can time travel and teleport, and they're bulletproof, and they're masters of disguise, and they can change their size and make their eyes glow and fly 60 miles an hour and chase cars and what else can they? Oh, they also reflect light, and they are responsible for all UFOs, and they also have a species that is amphibious, and when a group of them get together, that's responsible for all Loch Ness sightings.
I just think owls get a bad rap. There's something.
Listen to you fucking owl apologist.
Sympathizer owls.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Whose side are you on here?
The outside of the owl. I think. For me, I don't know what it was. I mean, I don't know if Joe Nickell had a stuffed toy when he was a kid that got taken off him or something that was an owl. Or, I don't know what it was, but he's got some vendetta against owls and birds. So,
just birds in general.
Yeah, he basically just says, go out and shoot the fucker. If you see an owl, shoot it.
He defended the poor sandhill crane.
Well, that's true. No, he didn't, though, did he? But he wanted them fucking rid of as well in case it was tearing down bridges and shit.
No, he said that the Mothman was not a sandhill crane because it couldn't be a sandhill crane because it was very clearly a barn owl. And that's not a joke. He really did say it was not.
But that
it wasn't the sandhill crane because it was a barn owl.
But that Hopkinsville goblins, some of the points in that case, what made me think that it really happened is that skeptics straight away said these people were drunk or under the influence, and the police said there was no evidence of that at the scene. There was no evidence of beer bottles, blah blah blah.
Right.
So,
and the police said that they all were legitimately frightened.
Yeah, and the police
and they seemed to be of sound mind.
And the police themselves said they heard the noises of the craft or whatever you want to call it. And these people were shooting up their own house. I mean, you've got to be really in a panic state to start blowing holes in your own windows and fucking doors and... You know.
And then children there too, right?
Yeah, I think there was three children there, yeah. And they moved out shortly after. You know, that's another one where a lot of these cases, you know, you get people like, oh, this is the most haunted house in Britain, blah, blah, blah. But we've lived here for 50 fucking years, you know. But these seem to... This happened and then they got out of there, you know. It frightened them that much. But it was meant to... The aliens... I'm going to call them aliens for now, but the aliens were meant to have returned as well after the police went. So, yeah.
I've been pretty fucking drunk. I haven't done too many different types of drugs, but I've never... I'm sure it happens to some people. We've all have that one friend that'll freak out, you know, or get too drunk, and he's the one crying, sitting on the floor, talking about his life or some shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never been to the point to where... what's happening in reality is that owls are flying at my house.
No.
And I reacted by shooting the fuck out of everything while there's children in the house. And everybody fell in line. They're like, yeah, they are owls. Yeah, yeah. And just, you know.
Yeah. Cokeheads, that's a perfectly sane reaction, Mateo.
This sounds like a night out in Grimsby. I think I'm along the same lines as you, though. If it was just one person seeing this, then you could say, all right. But when you're talking about, I think there's seven people in total that witnessed this.
Yeah.
I think it's hard, isn't it, to go along. If someone says, get inside, we're being invaded, and you look out the window and it's owls, you know, you're mm-hmm. going to say, it's a fucking owl, you dickhead, yeah. you know?
So yeah, exactly.
It's hard to think that four adults, I think it was, could actually go along with that.
Misidentify a group of owls.
And again, these people weren't particularly drunk or, you know, under any, an influence of anything else. So, I have to say, verdict. I have to say, I think this one could have happened.
Yeah, this one seems... Something definitely happened. Mm. And like you said, I think it's highly unlikely that a group of adults are going to misidentify owls over an extended period of time. Mm. Like, I could see them seeing out, like, being startled by an owl and being like, oh, shit, there's something outside. And then upon further inspection, it's revealed that, no, it's just owls. Calm down and stop shooting the walls, please.
You know, and these people were, you know... Well, they was living on a ranch, weren't they? So it's not like they've...
Yeah, it's not like if there were owls, they wouldn't have known that there were owls there.
Yeah. And I imagine the first time you shoot at an owl, it lets you know it's an owl, you know?
Yeah, it either dies or it'll fly away. It's not going to make a ping noise and do a backflip.
So. And then come back for more.
And not only that, but they said that they had some sort of shim... Because you were saying it sounded like pings when they was hitting them, and they said that it had some sort of metallic clothing on, didn't they?
Well, they said that it looked like they were wearing like metallic-colored jumpsuits or whatever. Yeah.
So, and you get that in a lot of alien cases, don't you? So,
especially in the 50s. In the 50s, that was a...
Tinfoil, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, green man and shiny spacesuits.
So that's that one. So I think we're all in agreement that one could have happened, aren't we?
Yeah, I definitely believe that happened. I think that's one of many cases that has enough evidence as any. If it was a different type of case, if it was a murder case or a robbery case, with the evidence that's there to support that really happened, it's believable. If you applied that amount of evidence to any type of case, it would be believable.
I'm just waiting for this to be on the episode of Mountain Monsters. Have you seen Mountain Monsters?
No.
It's these hillbillies running around.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah.
You know, they go after all these. It's obviously so fucking staged. It's untrue, but there's got to be an episode on these at one point, I think. The really good thing about that program, and I watch it, you know, just for entertainment purposes, it's fucking brilliant, but they always have a strange name for the creature. It's never just the Bigfoot, you know. It's got to be the Bigfoot that stares at you until you die or something, do you know what I mean?
That's the worst Bigfoot of all time.
that's probably a natural creature on the show. But then they have like these. They always go and see somebody, you know, like the witness, and the witness is always called Wolf or, you know, that sort of shit. And there's even one episode where they met this so-called Bigfoot expert, and I think he was called No Shoes Willie.
Oh God!
Yeah,
sounds legit.
Yeah, that's your Bigfoot expert, No Fucking Shoes Willie. But my favourite one, I was watching the other day, and I think there was meant to be a Bigfoot, but this Bigfoot had protection of this ghost.
This was a haunted Bigfoot?
Absolutely.
Not a Bigfoot ghost, but a haunted Bigfoot.
This Bigfoot was meant to have protection from... It was living in a woods that was said to be haunted by this...
oh my God.
Yeah, this
so
old
Bigfoot
lady.
Is friends with... Wow, okay.
But the best bit of this whole thing is like, because they say these creatures always have nicknames and that, and this woods was meant to be haunted by this old lady, like. So, I said, we're off to see a Bigfoot. They're on the way there, and they're all like, yeah, yeah, what are we off to see? And they're like, fucking Bigfoot. Wow, fucking Bigfoot. But not just Bigfoot, this ghost that haunts the wood. This old lady that haunts the wood. And like, an old lady that haunts the wood. And like, yeah, old lady. What's the name? And the fucking, he goes like, she's called. Ooh, and there's like dramatic fucking pause. And then he says, she's called the lady of the wood. And they're like, the fucking lady of the wood. Yeah, the lady of the wood.
That's incredible.
Like, fucking best
you're that fucking lady.
Shit, that lady of the wood.
Oh, God. But, yeah. I thought you were going to say something like, her name is...
Yeah, exactly.
Louise. Oh, my God.
The kangaroo bouncing devil woman. No, she's just the fucking lady of the wood. Yeah. But, man, watch it. It's fucking good. Good shit.
You really sold it. I'm very interested in this show now.
They'll probably...
I did see a short clip of it once, and they were just... It was cheesy. They were just out there looking for some creature, and then there's just obviously added some like horde screaming of a monster, and they all ran. But yeah, it was entertaining for sure.
Absolutely, and they have a trap in every episode, and the creature enters the trap and then somehow manages to escape the trap. You know, it's one of them. But what can you say?
Every episode,
pretty much, yeah. But it's like, you know, they'll all be there, and then they'll hear the trap clap, you know, the door and the trap, oh, we've got it, and then by the time they get there, it's gone, and that's the end of the episode. But yeah, what can you do? But
one day they're going to find a note in the trap that's been sprung that says, fuck off, love Bigfoot. That son of a bitch!
Fucking hell. But I'll tell you something that happened to me the other day, like, because you know, when I'm at work and that, sometimes I, because I can be out all day delivering and that, and sometimes you know, obviously you need a piss. So every now and again, you'll ask a customer, or sometimes the customer will ask you. You know, sometimes when I get there, the customer will say, "Oh, do you want a cup of tea?" Or, you know, "Do you want to use a toilet?" Or whatever. And this happened. So this woman says to me, this old lady, she says, "Do you want a cup of tea?" And I said, "Actually, I says I'm all right for drinks, but I could borrow your toilet if that's okay." And that's just an expression that we have over here, you know, say, borrow this, borrow that. So she says, yeah, that's fine. So she points me towards where it is. And because I'd used this phrase, borrow your toilet, as I'm going into the toilet, she says to me, borrow it where you're taking it. Now, I try and be, right, I try and be quite witty and come up with a quick response. And the only thing I can think to say, and this is me, stood in the toilet, leaning back through the door, looking at her, yeah? And I says, do you want to give me an hand getting it out? Oh, fucking hell, her face. But then I made it worse by saying, I mean the toilet. Yeah, she's just looking at me, she just walked off and... But yeah, it's lucky, you know. What can you do?
Don't be shy. Don't play games.
Yeah, imagine if she'd said, you know what I mean? If she thought I was fucking being serious, huh? But, have you heard of the... What's it called? What's his name? Zygmunt Adamski case.
No.
No? Okay, well, before I go into this, then, I suppose I should say, where do you stand on alien abduction in general?
I definitely think it's something that happens, and I think it's something that's led to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think more often than not, if it's a real case, that it's more a PSYOP type deal than actual aliens abducting people and taking DNA samples and whatnot.
I think there's something to it, because obviously we get the stories going back into antiquity, you know, the fairy cases and stuff.
And I definitely don't think it's something that all these people are just making up. I mean, sure, you've got your share of people making stuff up, but it doesn't account for everybody.
No. To me, the only thing that I struggle with is the logic of it. I just can't see any logic to it.
How do you mean?
Like, I can't see an alien race taking people, performing experiments, then putting them back in the bed, or I can't see.
Well, look at it in a way. I mean, we do it as humans all the time. We'll take things out of the wild, run some tests on them, and then let them go again. Like, just look at what we do with dolphins. Like, I'm not saying the dolphins that we capture, but I mean, we could use that as an example. We abduct intelligent beings from the ocean all the time. Yeah. Sometimes we stab them with a thing that emits a beacon and let them go again.
But we
and
don't.
Then other times we don't even put them back. We just take them.
You can apply that to how we would react if we went to an alien planet and landed somewhere secretly and ventured out and caught one of them by themselves. We would take
exactly.
We would interrogate it. Mm-hmm. We'd examine it. I mean,
I think that, you know, is plausible. But to me, I don't think we do that covertly. You know, I don't think there's, a fucking a wildebeest running back to the herd saying, I don't know what fucking happened. I
think we would if we understood, though. Like, if they understood us, I think that we would be more covert about it. But, you know, we've got such an ego that we put ourselves above nature. So it's like we're able to do this with no consequence because they're just dumb animals. Yeah. But if these dumb animals could communicate to each other and be like, dude, these things are just plucking us and just doing all sorts of shit with us. Don't go near them. Maybe we'd be a little more covert about it.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
And maybe that's what the whatever is doing this has learned over time. Like, oh shit, they're getting hip to us. We gotta be more discreet about it.
I just don't think they'd care that much. You know, I think if there's aliens coming here, I just don't think they care whether we know about it or not. I just don't see. I mean, it looks from all the evidence that they do care because they try and, you know what I mean, keep themselves to themselves, but I just can't see the point in that. I just don't think we'd go to another planet. Like you were saying, I don't think we go to another planet, pluck animals up and do it, you know, from the shadows, so to speak.
I think we would. Yeah. If we went to another planet and saw that they were an intelligent species and we were able to discern that they weren't just dumb animals and they actually had a society and were thinking sentient beings, that I think we would do it in secret. We wouldn't just show up.
Yeah, I think
we're here. Let's take what we want and go.
I think they would definitely, any project that's going to be executed like that, as we all learned from the Aliens films, there's going to be military personnel that's going to accompany any type of scientific team. And when that happens, when they land in that alien planet, they're the ones who's going to be making the decision of what's going down. And even from a military aspect, capturing one of the local natives and seeing what they're about first makes sense.
Hmm. I suppose we do a slowly approach sometimes. I mean, there's cases in the Amazon rainforest where we know about these tribes that have been uncontacted, and scientists will actually make themselves visible. So they'll start, maybe on a hillside or something like that. They'll make a fire, you know, so that this particular village or, you know, this tribe can see this smoke and they know someone's there. And then eventually they'll just get closer and closer, and they generally will pop out of the woods or the jungle one side of the river while these people will be on the other side and actually wave at them. And this can take years, you know, they get gradually closer and closer and closer until they're actually able to cross the river and meet these people firsthand. You know, so because we don't want to just go in there and mess their way of life up, and, you know, and, like, you know, they're thinking that they're the only people in the world, and then bang, all these people come with needles and all the rest of it. So, yeah, so, you know, to some extent we do. Look, let's just say alien abductions, I believe some, and I don't believe others. You know, but I've got no reason as to why they would do it. I just can't. That's the only bit I can't figure out. And I've spent some time. There was a woman I used to know. She'd been abducted all her life, and actually spent some time at her house, sleeping with her. Actually at her house to see if anything would happen, because she had rough times when this thing had happened. It generally occur within a few days of her birthday every year. It happened throughout the year as well, but generally around her birthday this had happened. So for a couple of nights prior to her birthday and a couple of nights afterwards, I actually stopped her house with her to see if I could see it happening, you know. But nothing happened. So, well, as far as I know. But okay, so that's the end of part one. If you want to listen to part two, you need to go over to the Whatcast, and you can find them on iTunes, Stitcher, all the usual places. Yeah, it's worth a listen, although it was falling asleep halfway through. I mean, we'd only just got up, but yeah, go and check it out. And yeah, thank you for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.